And one more time, just give a shout to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, for he alone is worthy of all praise. Come on, come on. For just 30 more seconds, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy of all praise and you're worthy of my worship. We magnify you, we exalt you, we lift you up. We come to say that you are holy, that you are high and you are set apart. We worship you, great God, for there's none like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, great God. Amen, amen. It's good to be in Milwaukee. Amen. I grew up, since I could remember, a Milwaukee Brewer fan. Don't ask me how somebody from South Bend, Indiana becomes a Milwaukee Brewer fan, but I am. And so it's good to be here. Good to be with Brother and Sister Brownie. We love them and the Brownie family. God bless you. Amen. To all the saints of God, to the young people, it's always good to see young people in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Something rises up in me when I hear people at youth rallies say, you're the church of tomorrow. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of right now. Amen. You're the devil's worst nightmare. Amen. But it's such an honor to be here. Good to have my wife and my three kids. And I realize I'm not used to sitting with them in church. And I wonder how in the world that mothers stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we appreciate them being here tonight. Amen. It's just good to be here. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And the 13th, actually we'll start with the 14th verse. Jesus has come to the coast of Philippi. And he's asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. I mean, it's important to know who Jesus is, but it's also important that he knows who you are. And I say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And verse 18, and he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He told me I had till 9 o'clock. I'm just messing. We won't be that long. But for just a few moments, I want to preach to you on this subject, the church that goes to hell. The church that goes to hell. Can you lift your hands across this place? Just ask God to have his way in this sanctuary today. Come on, lift your voice for just one more moment. Mighty God, speak to us today. We worship you, God. Anoint my mind, anoint my words, that, God, they would find lodging in the hearts of those that would hear your word. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Have your way, great God. Have your way, great God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Before you're seated, look at somebody and say, no, don't say that. A church that goes to hell. I want to be part of a church that goes to hell. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all mind if I just be like I'm at home tonight? Is that all right? Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. A church that goes to hell. I wish y'all had told me it was casual night. The church that goes to hell. I'm convinced of a few things in this world. But there is one thing that I know. The more revelation I receive, the more that I've come to this realization that a Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name person is the thing that the devil fears more than anything else on this earth. He and all of his demons and imps have done a good job of convincing the church of the living God that we are weak, that we are inferior, that we are small, and that we are nothing. This is why he spends so much time working on us. His biggest fear is that the church of the living God would get a revelation of who they are. He fears that the church would come to the understanding of the power and the authority that they have. But let me declare to you tonight that the church is not weak. But to the contrary, we are the strongest thing on planet Earth. We are not inferior, but to the contrary, we are the most supreme entity on this planet. We are not small, but to the contrary, we are the biggest thing that's happening right now. And we are not nothing, we are everything. Watchman Nee said that the church will leave this world greater than what it was when it came into this world. And it came in with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. And the church will leave greater than that. It will be the greatest force. It is the greatest force on this planet. It is the greatest force. Contrary to what we read in our headlines and what we experience in our schools and in our cities, the church is still the greatest force on this planet. You see, there's a lie that's going forth that everything was hunky-dory in my life until I got saved. The devil left me alone until I got the Holy Ghost, until I got baptized. Well, let me just break the news to you. He hated you then, and he hates you now, whether you got the Holy Ghost or whether you don't got the Holy Ghost. You see that we were made in his likeness and in his image. But when Adam fell, we lost his likeness. But I think that God just let us keep his image just to irritate the devil. Because every time he looks at a man or a woman, he sees the image of God, and he hates you. See, the devil fears that the people of God will come to the revelation of who we are and come to the revelation that we are the greatest thing that's ever happened. And when we get this revelation, we will break every stronghold in our city. We'll break every stronghold in our family and in our school and in our churches. Deuteronomy 32:30 says that if one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. I don't know how many people are here tonight, but what would happen if we were united in the Holy Ghost? We would change this city. We would change this state. We would change this country for the Lord. Jesus came to the coast of Philippi, and he starts asking his disciples some questions. Who do men say that I am? You see that he's concerned with who you think that he is and who you know that he is. They answered him, some say that you're Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of the prophets. But more importantly, he wants to know, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, as was with his personality, was the first to speak up. He said, I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you, one of the greatest days in my life was the day that I got the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. You need that revelation. It matters who we say that he is. For he is the one true, living, all-powerful, all-knowing God. See, we've got to understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, we've got to understand this is not popular in our hour, but that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We've got to know this and understand it. Who do you say that I am? I say that thou art the living God, the one true mighty God. It's still popular to say that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hallelujah to God. Jesus answered and said, you got this revelation from me. And then he prophesied to Peter. He said, I know who you are, that thou art Peter. How many are glad that God knows who you are? When you were to be humbled every once in a while, just imagine that the God that spoke this universe knows your name, knows everything about you, knows the hair on your head. That ought to humble you, but I'm so glad that he does. And he begins to prophesy to Peter, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, everybody say the gates of hell, shall not, everybody say shall not, contrary to what we read in the newspaper, contrary to what we see on the news, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I've read this scripture. How many have ever heard this scripture before? Wave at me if you heard this scripture before. The word that jumps out to me in this scripture is the word gates. What are gates? Gates are really nothing. Gates, they don't move. They're stationary. They can't attack. You can't shoot a gate. You can't throw a gate. They're just there. They serve one purpose and one purpose only. Gates are there to keep things out and to keep things in. Somebody gonna get that in a little while. I'll explain it to you. But gates serve one purpose. They keep things out and they keep things in. When you come to that revelation that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, you see, they're not shooting gates at us. He's not throwing gates at you. They're just there. They got no power. They got no authority. They're just there, keeping things out and keeping things in. Most of us probably desire to live in a gated community. Why do you choose to live in a gated community? Because you want the people that don't belong in that community, you don't want them in your community, and you don't want the people that's in the community getting out of the community. That's what gates serve. They're guards. So the gates of hell are there for one purpose. They're to keep things out and to keep things in. Somebody got to get this in a little bit. There's some things that are in hell tonight that don't belong there. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. I'm just going to act like I'm at home, Brother Brown. Is that all right? There's some things in hell right now that don't belong there. And those gates are keeping the church out from going to hell and getting back what's not supposed to be there. You'll get this in a minute. They're put up for protection from an outside force. They're there, the gates of hell are there to protect what is on the inside and to keep what's on the inside from getting out, and that force from the outside from getting in. So the gates of hell are there to keep things from getting out and to keep things from getting in. And Jesus prophesied to Peter and to us, and he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Why did he say that if they couldn't move? Because he wants a church that goes to hell and gets back the things that are not supposed to be there. Hallelujah. I'm starting to feel at home. I'm starting to feel at home. But when you get to hell, he said, look, you're getting there. They're stationary. They're not moving. And when you get there, they will not prevail against you. You see, there's some things that the devil has stolen from me and he's stolen from you. And they're behind those gates. And it's time for the church of the living God to rise up in one voice and march to hell and take back what the devil took from us. Hallelujah to God. Come on, look at somebody. Let's just break the ice. Look at somebody and say, go to hell and take back what the devil stole from you. Well, y'all ain't used to me. You will be by the time it's all done. But I want a church, Brother Brownie, that's on the march to the gates of hell, because I got some family members that are there that don't belong. I got some friends that are there that don't belong. And I want to be a part of a church that goes to hell. He's got some things there. He's got some things there. He's got our joy behind those gates, our victory behind those gates, our peace behind those gates, our families behind those gates, our cities behind those gates, our revivals are behind those gates, our hope behind those gates, our dreams. But I stand here tonight as one crazy preacher and says, I want to go to hell and take back the things that belong to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has these things, and I'm going to hell. Not going to be long, Brother Brownie. Just going there to take back my family that's there that don't belong. Take back my destiny that's there that don't belong. Take back my city in the name of Jesus that don't belong. Hallelujah. He's got us. He's got our loved ones. God knows he had our schools. He's got our cities. He's got our families. He's got our sanity. He's got all things, kinds of things behind those gates. And they're just there guarding them, trying to keep the church out. And let me just be real with you. He's done a pretty good job. Done a pretty good job. But I believe that God is shaking the nation, shaking the church, and say, look, you got power and you got authority. I want a church that goes to hell and take back what it took from us. He told Peter, he said, when you get there, don't worry about it. They'll not prevail against you because you got some keys to the kingdom. That whatsoever you bind on earth be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth be loosed in heaven. You see, he had some keys. You know what keys mean? I wish I had my keys. I don't know what that. Keys are power. Keys are authority. If someone of you come and try to take my keys, we'd have a serious misunderstanding. But he walked right into hell and said, give me those keys. Because I'm about to give them to my people, to my sons and my daughters. And say, when you get to hell, you got the keys to the kingdom. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I come to serve notice to the city of Milwaukee. I'm just a visitor, but we're going to hell and we're taking it back. I don't know what part of Wisconsin you're from, but I come to serve notice to the state of Wisconsin. You've had us locked behind the gates too long. I wonder if there's about 100 young people. I think that's probably about how many are here, 150, whatever. I wonder if there's about 150 young people that would just stand to their feet and serve the devil notice and say, look here, devil, I got some keys, and I'm going to hell, and I'm going to take back my friends, take back my family, take back my city, take back my school. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Slap somebody a high five for you. Sit down and tell them it's time to go to hell. Boy, you never thought you'd ever say that in church, did you? And I'm trying to be good tonight. Hallelujah. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself. Listen to this. Against the knowledge of God. So let me ask you, what does God know about you that you don't know about you? Somebody could get that driving home. They're going to have a wreck. Because you know what God knows about you? He knows that you're anointed. He knows that you're powerful. He knows that you're called. And there's nothing that can stand in your way. Hallelujah. What does God know about you? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have some weapons. Weapons like prayer. Weapons like fasting. Weapons like the name of Jesus. But I wish somebody would understand the power that's in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has so highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. But I don't know about you, but in Michigan, we get excited about the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Let me tell you, Brother Brownie, when you say the name of Jesus, there are angels that take notice. There are demons that take notice. And there are men that take notice. All at the mention of that name that's above every name. That name above every sickness, above every disease, above every situation. Somebody shout that name. Most shout it again like it's the greatest name. Hallelujah. We got his name. You think his name is powerful? You know what else we got? We got his word. Here's a revelation for you. You know the reason why his name has power? Because his word said it did. Get that revelation. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The only reason that there's power in the name of Jesus, because it says so in his word, and his word is above his name. Brother Chris already said it. When you don't know what to say, say the word. Look at somebody and say, say the word. Say the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints of marrow and the discerning of the thoughts of the intent of the heart. I say to these young people that are here tonight, it is time we start using his word. When the devil comes in like a flood, do like he did. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, for it is written. It is written. You ever stand there on the edge of a sick person, don't know what to say? Say the word. Say the word. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee, and by your stripes we are healed. I ain't got the right words to say on somebody's deathbed, but his word does. It is written. It is written that I shall have joy unspeakable. It is written that he is the Prince of Peace. He is written that it is written that all power in heaven and earth belongs to him. We got his name, and we got his word, and we got his spirit. I think all of us here are apostolic Pentecostals, right? Hallelujah. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is more. Matter of fact, it's not even really about speaking in tongues. But I'm going to mess with y'all tonight. You guys are going to have me back. If that's all you got the Holy Ghost for, I'm sorry. But it's more than speaking in tongues, Brother Browning. That's just a sign to myself that I got it. But oh, ye of God, little children, you have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When you come to the revelation that the Holy Ghost is the spirit of the one that said, let there be and there shall be, that spoke everything into existence, that's what the Holy Ghost is. All power. Hallelujah. Well, you think about that when you don't have anything else to think of. That the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that lives in this temple, that lives in this clay and flesh. And everything that his Spirit can do, everything that his Spirit can do, what did his Spirit do? His Spirit walked on water, fed 5,000, raised the dead, healed the leper, cleansed the leper, healed deaf ears, opened blind eyes. And he said, greater works than this shall you do, because I'm going and I'm going to send back the Comforter, which is my Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Almighty God is in me. And it's time the church picks up these weapons and goes to hell and destroys those gates and takes back everything that the devil has stolen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We probably all could quote this. My daughter can. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Talk about 2015. That's what we're wrestling with today. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to do, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, everybody say above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. And, everybody say and, the sword of the Spirit. Now, in my Bible, that Spirit's got a capital S. Get to that in a minute. Which is the Word of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let us put on the whole armor. Why is He telling us to do that? Because I'm about to go to hell and I need some protection. I heard it once that we shouldn't, as an apostolic church, go looking for a fight. But if the fight comes to us, we should finish the fight. But my Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I was driving by a Catholic church a couple years ago, and I'm from South Bend. There's this real famous school in South Bend. You may have heard of them. And the predominant religion is Roman Catholicism. And I was driving by one of their big, huge churches. They have many massive churches in South Bend. And they had a sign out front. And something, boy, just moved over me. And the sign said, pray for peace. But the Holy Ghost just spoke to me when I drove by that sign. It said, don't pray for peace. This is a fight. This is a war. This is a battle. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. So go ahead and pray for all the peace you want. But as for me, I'm looking for a fight. I'm going to take the fight back to Him. I'm taking some things back. Y'all gonna be so confused when you leave here. I thought I was supposed to pray for peace. Yeah, we'll get it later on. I want to be a part of a church that's not sitting around waiting for an ambush, but I want to be a part of a church, Brother Brownie, that's on the offensive, that's marching. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violent, and the violent take it by force. I want to be a part of a church in Benton Harbor, Michigan, that goes to hell. It takes back every backslider that's there, that goes to hell. Takes back every sinner that's there, every drug addict, every prostitute, every drug dealer. I'm going to hell, and the gates shall not prevail against me. The whole armor, loins guarded with the truth, breastplate of righteousness. Got my feet shod with preparation of the gospel. I got the shield of faith. I got the helmet of salvation. Let me just be brutally honest with you. I got all this stuff on, and here's the problem with the Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Right here in a nutshell. We're all dressed up and no place to go. Got all this stuff on. Got no place to go. But He wants a church that will march to the gates of hell and take back everything that is stole from you. I got all this on, and all of these are defensive. They're all for protection. I'll just talk about me. I'm transparent. Sometimes they tell me I'm too transparent, but that's all right. I'm just too transparent. There's sometimes I go to prayer meeting, I got my shield on, I got my faith on, and I'm just sitting there waiting for an attack. I'm just sitting there, what the devil, what you got left? I'm going to fight it off. But what would happen if the church would stand up and say, I'm not sitting around waiting for an attack, I'm going to get them and bring them back. Hallelujah. The church was not intended to just wait around, but the gates shall not prevail against us. We are meant to take the fight to the enemy. We are meant to take the fight to the devil. The church of the living God is moving forward. It's on the march. It's a conquering kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. We have all this armor on. Lastly, Paul told us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, this is one of the whole armor of God that's not for protection. It's not for protection. You see, a sword is an offensive weapon. It is used to fight back. And you see, the sword of the Spirit, it's got the capital S. I already told you about it, which is not this. It's not this. This is the written word of God. But that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is this. Somebody get that later on. Remember I said if you have the Holy Ghost in you. I'm going to go off my notes. It's dangerous when you get off your notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that I don't know where Michael starts and God begins. So that every word that comes out of my mouth is the word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody get that later on. But can you imagine that this Holy Ghost begins to speak through men and women? And that's an offensive weapon. We are taking the fight to the devil. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And we've got to realize that we have power and we have authority. For the Bible says that he's under my feet. The lie of the devil is that he's got power over you. That he can mess your life up somehow. But my word says that he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Well, I'm about to get radical crazy in here. Y'all getting nervous. I can feel it. But it's time the church speaks some things that are not as so they are. Brother Brownie, speak it into existence. There will be revival in downtown Milwaukee. We're going to have to knock out these walls. I prophesy in the Holy Ghost there's a revival coming to the city of Milwaukee, to the state of Wisconsin, that hasn't entered into the hearts or the thoughts of mankind. Hallelujah. Get up and speak it every morning. Prophesy to some things. Anybody ever prophesy to some things? This church will be filled. You will baptize someone every Sunday. You will use the overflow room. You will change this city. There will be miracles, signs, and wonders. I prophesy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. See, I got all these weapons. I'm prayed up. I'm fasted up. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I got his name. I got his blood. I got the truth. I got the gospel. I got faith. And I got his sword. And so what are you waiting for? I got all this stuff. Let's go to hell and take back some things that the devil has stolen from us. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to march to those gates that shall not prevail. When you get there, they got no power. Walk up to a gate and see what it does to you. It just stands there. And I want you to get this. That's what the gates of hell will do to a child of God. It just will stand there. And you can walk right in and walk right out with your loved one in your hand. With your city in your hand. Some of y'all need to get this in the Holy Ghost. With your prosperity in your hand. How many? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I'm not, you know what? You're looking at a preacher who's not afraid to preach about money. Because I believe the church isn't poor. And I don't believe the church should just be getting by with nickels and dimes and quarters. But the devil's stolen the church's money. I'll bless with that. And we need to go get it back. We need to go get it back. I got these weapons and I'm going to the gates of hell. It's time for the church to open their mouth and declare war on the devil, all of his imps in hell, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to hell and I've come here to get my family. I've come to get my joy. I've come to get my peace. I've come to get my city. I've come to get my sons, my daughters. I've come to get my marriage, my school. I've come to get it all back. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to get it back. Hallelujah. I'm going to mess with somebody one day. I'm going to be all dressed up for church. And they're going to say, where are you going? I'm going to look at them. Say, I'm going to hell. Not going to be long. Just a minute. But I'm going alone. But I'm coming back with my city. I'm coming back with my family. I'm coming back with my hope, my joy. I'm coming back with my sister, my brother. Coming back with my money. Coming back with my revival. Coming back with my hope and my dreams. I'm bringing it back. How many want to be a part of a church that goes to hell? I don't know about you, but there's some things in hell that I love. don't know about you, but I got some unsaved blood relatives that are there. And it's time for me to go get them and bring them back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many ever heard this term, I'm waiting on a move of God? Have you ever heard that before? Wait on a move. I'm about to mess with you, and I'm drawing to a close. God can't move. God is everywhere, all the time, occupies all time and space. If God was to move, where he moved from would cease to exist, so he can't move. But what we need is for the church to move in him. That's what we need. We don't need God to move. We need the church to move. Hallelujah to God. How many of you have ever been to the Rocky Mountains? If you're driving to the Rocky Mountains, you get 1,000 miles away and you start to see them. And the closer you get, they're not moving. The bigger they get. The bigger they get. The bigger they get. Until when you get in the mountains, that's all you see is the mountains. They never moved. It's just you moved into them. And that's what I'm praying the church of the living God will do. God's not moving. He's just as big and awesome, as mighty as he always was. But he's wanting his church to move, to get closer, to where they get so close to him that everywhere they look, all they see is God. He's looking for a church that will move. Let's stand across this place. I don't know how you guys do youth rallies here, but here's what we're going to do tonight. We got a half hour. Look at that. We got a half hour. I preached this at a youth rally in Michigan, and I just feel impressed to do the same thing tonight. Let's just lift our hands across this place. If you can lift your hands, just be obedient to the man of God right now. Just lift your hands. If you can lift both of them, lift both hands across this place. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Lord, speak to us tonight. God, there's some things that's missing. Some things that's been stolen. Some things that we long for, that we love, that are behind those gates. And God, it's time for your people to realize who they are. We're anointed children, men and women of God that have power and that have authority. Hallelujah to God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. We're going to do something here. We got a little bit of time. If you're a minister, a pastor, youth pastor, whatever you are, I want you to just come stand across this front, face the congregation. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Come on, lift your hands across this place one more time. Keep them raised. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Man, that's awesome. Look at all these youth pastors and pastors here. This is fantastic. If you're a member of a youth group and you have one or both of your